Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
End Times Friday. This will be airing March the 22nd.
March the 15th.
March 15th. Sorry, I'm always a week around. So March 15th. last week, we celebrated our 750th podcast anniversary, and
right.
that was fun. And you were reminded of it by the Holy Spirit, and then looked it up, and it was just so happened to be on an end time. So we did.
That's all we did last week.
If you didn't go back and rejoice with us.
Right. And if you didn't yet send in your email, we are doing a drawing, a giveaway, and depending on how many entries we get, just send us your email, and we're hoping to just give you something to bless you from the ministry.
Yeah.
And if there's a lot of them, we'll draw a few names out of the hat. So like the episode, send us your email. And even if you want to send us, if there's been something in the last 750 episodes that has blessed you and you want to share that, gosh, we would love to hear that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Or if you have a question that you'd like us to do, as we approach end times, we have a question from actually a good friend and a listener out in Ohio. He actually sent in a couple questions, and we'll deal with both of them over the next several weeks. But one of which is that, with Denny Weinberg now is our once a month guest on helping us understand what's happening in Israel. He's a Messianic Jew, has good connections.
So fun to get his perspective
with people
on things,
that
right?
actually live in Israel. So he's getting real data, not filtered by the news.
Right.
And so he's getting the real information and very helpful to help us understand the dynamics of it all and what's
right.
really happening.
And even given us some of the cultural perspective that we just is lost on us in
right.
Western.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. So one of the questions was, what is the perspective on the two-state solution, which is a big topic of discussion. And by the way, that's been a topic for a long time, and just so, and I'll set it up. We're not going to answer because we'll have Denny process this with us. But Israel was reformed as a nation in 1947. It was after World War II. Britain had basically, from before World War I through to World War II, been facilitating the region through their embassy there. And they were really, kind of through proxy was leading that region. And the United Nations, after World War II, through what happened with Britain, set up the Nation of Israel again. Mm-hmm. That was destroyed in 70 AD. So think from 70 AD
wow.
to 1947, they didn't have a place. They never had a nation.
And they were literally scattered.
Yeah, and the most remarkable thing, and this is why you can just look at the power and the life of God, is the Jewish race kept pure. It's how is that even possible for almost 2,000 years that they didn't just wind up losing the race because they didn't have a land, they didn't have a property, but they were reformed up in 1947. At that time, they received a portion of the land that was what we call biblical land, what God had given Joshua, and saying this is Israel. At the 1947, they received a portion of it, and even though they had the right to do this, they didn't. They said, well, let's try to honor, because at that time, remember, the mosque was in the Temple Mount.
And right.
Remember,
they had built on a site that was historically Jewish, right?
Well, it was where the temple was. So they purposely, and this is the Muslim approach, is to co-opt the things of the opposite perspective. So they built the mosque when they were ruling Jerusalem. They built the mosque over this temple site, and they put it specifically over the Holy of Holies.
Right.
Well, that's kind of anathema to the Jewish, you know, nation. And mm-hmm. but when they were so grateful to come back as a nation, that they said, you know what, you can, let's co basically manage the Temple Mount, mm-hmm. and you keep your mosque, and you can keep worshiping there, and it'll be okay, and you can have a place, you know, in Jerusalem. And so they have these quarters, you know, there's a Muslim quarter and a Jewish quarter, actually two Christian quarters. And they basically, in a sense, had a mini, what's called a mini two-state solution, mm-hmm. Because the Palestinians were operating and having leadership over pieces of the land of Israel. Well, in 1967, mm-hmm. Jordan and Egypt and Lebanon, they all decided that they're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Mm. And they came at them. And remember, Israel...
Is this the Six-Day War?
Six-Day War. And okay. They were overwhelmed in potential that there would be no trouble them winning this war. I'm talking about the Palestinians.
Right.
But through... And if you ever go to Israel, they have a great exhibits there to show what happened. But the whole thing was miraculous, and mm-hmm. in 6 days, Israel defeated them.
Right.
Okay. Not only did they defeat them, but they regained all the land that was now the biblical property. Mm. And the only thing left was the Gaza, which they allowed the Palestinians to live, even though Israel runs it, rules it supposedly. But they had now the territory of the biblical mm-hmm. territory that God had given Joshua.
Okay.
Ever since then, several prime ministers of Israel have tried to give that back away mm-hmm. With what they call a two-state solution.
So is Gaza technically part of what that territory was, the promised land that
yes.
God had given originally?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. North of Egypt.
Just to give clarity.
So it's okay. a border between Israel and that. And they basically, you know, let them live there mm-hmm. and function there. So several prime ministers have actually tried to give away more land. Mm-hmm. And every single one of them either died suddenly mm-hmm. or got incapacitated and never could fulfill it.
Right.
And I, you know, and so Netanyahu believes that because of that, that God has said, no, you know, this is your property. It's going to be your property, your land. This is Israel. And,
right.
And it isn't going to be a two-state solution per se. Now, all kinds of discussions. So the battle has always been, over the last literally 20 years, particularly is, well, why don't you go back and go back to the 47 boundary and give the Palestinians what they used to have.
Right.
And of course, Netanyahu says, no, this is a biblical Israel. No, we're not giving it up.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if we do, all they're going to do is try to wipe us off the face of the earth.
Right. You know, I was going to say, and we've tried that before.
Yeah,
it didn't go
yeah.
so well.
So anyway, it'll be fun. And we'll explore this with Denny. You know, what's the perspective over there on the two-state solution, and mm-hmm. why is it that they don't just do it? And again, it's the fundamental reason is that there's not a commonality of values mm-hmm. Of maintaining things. Rather, it's just if we can get more of this, then that'll give us closer to be able to eliminate Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, think about it. If that was true, let's say, which, you know, it'd be hard to imagine. But let's say Canada said, you know, we're going to try to eliminate you.
Right.
Well, we'd have a problem. We wouldn't give them Minnesota.
No.
And say, well, yeah, go ahead and get closer and kill us, you know. And so anyway, it'll be interesting to do. But another question came up of, given that there is war, what's the foundation biblically of war? Mm-hmm. And how do we approach that with Israel's trying to eliminate Hamas? And what about the Palestinians that live there and doesn't God care for them? Mm-hmm. So we wanted to explore that a little bit and answer that question. So first of all, and this happens to be a verse we actually read last week, and we were celebrating Psalm 21, but it has a couple other things to say about that. But let's go to Psalm 21 and read verses 8 through 12.
Sure. It says, "Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. For they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore, you will make them turn their back. You will make ready your arrows on your string towards their faces."
Okay, so the Lord, members, it's about the truth. But fundamentally, as he says, you have an enemy. Mm-hmm. What is his perspective here against the enemy?
God is a just God, and he will defend his people.
Yeah, so he's defending his offspring and saying that they will not succeed, mm-hmm. because, and this is the key, and he says this in verse 11, they intended
evil against you.
And the word there again is they intended to oppose you, to eliminate you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're devising that plan to eliminate you.
Right.
They devised a plot, but they're not going to be able to perform it because God says, I'm going to defeat them. And he says, actually, I want you to eliminate their offspring and not allow them to continue to come back. Okay, now, it's all based on the intention.
Right.
And that is, you have an intended enemy that the goal is to eliminate you. Mm-hmm. If that's true, I'm going to protect you, God speaking, and I'm going to give you permission to go ahead and go to war and have you defeat them only because of their intention. And this is important. He says, and he says this other places, don't you have an intention to harm them per se. If you decide I want more property or I want to come against him, he says that's not your right to do that.
Right. You taking justice into your own hands rather than surrendering to a just God. Right.
And don't plan it yourself. But if they oppose you and come against you and plot against you, I am gonna protect you so that you're not eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about intention. And war is, in a sense, by God, and it's been that way. I don't want you to attack, but I want you to defend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now go to, we'll see an example of this. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jehoshaphat. And read, first of all, verses 1 to 12.
Sure. Says, "It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand Is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it and for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you've given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
Yeah. So this would be the equivalent, by the way, of, interesting enough, it's kind of similar to the Six-Day War. It would be Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt. They all formed together and said, let's go and eliminate Israel.
And come against Israel, yes.
And remember, in that day, it was really by numbers. So it was whoever had the greater numbers would win, and they would invite them to a place. We're going to battle. Whoever wins, wins. And then we're going to kill you, and then we'll go and invite your, you know, children and wives to be slaves to us, and we're going to occupy your cities because we won. And so they come against them, and their goal is to kill the army of Israel and all the people of Israel that they can. So they come against it, and he says that, well, God, you're ruler. Your hand is power and might. He says in verse 9, if disaster comes, the word sword there is if people are coming to kill us, judgment, pestilence, famine, we know that you're going to save us. And so here they are coming to invade us and kill us. So we don't know what to do, but our eyes are looking to you. So he understands, and you see, he's pulling all this out of the Old Testament scriptures that he had,
right?
Because of the covenant and the truth of that and what happened, and that he says, you even gave us the land by having us go to battle and killing the inhabitants of those cities and then occupying those cities so that we could have a place of purity. So they did. So they said, you know, God, what do you have to say? Okay, now go down to verse 15 through 17.
Sure. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Juriel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you.
Okay, so he said the battle is God's, not yours. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what?
Of being annihilated.
Yeah, don't be afraid of getting killed.
Yeah.
They're coming to kill you. So don't be afraid of that. Matter of fact, it's going to go the other direction, and God's going to take care of this. You do have to go down and get ready as if you're going to battle, but actually I'll fulfill it. Okay. So then go down to verse 20.
Sure. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For all the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth, and no one had escaped.
Okay, so Josaphat says, okay, we're here. Believe the prophets, believe that the verses that we've looked at from the Old Testament mm-hmm. is true, the covenant. God's going to take care of it. He's going to protect us, save us. Believe in what he told us. Mm-hmm. The battle isn't ours, it's his, but we have to be here.
Right.
And let's now expect that God will fulfill it, and he does, and he causes them to fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was killed. Not because of anything Josaphat did.
Right.
But he says everybody was killed, no one escaped, and they were all dead. And they said, okay, God said, actually, you can now take, they brought so much stuff because mm-hmm. they thought they for sure was going to win.
Right.
And they brought all their stuff.
So there was lots to loot.
He says, hey, you got it. Go ahead and take it back to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. You want. And now here's, okay, look at this whole thing. This is interesting. Who caused their own demise?
The people of Moab and Ammon.
Yeah,
and
see, because they decided, if they would have just stayed where they were,
mm-hmm.
Jehoshaphat would have never even thought. He wasn't thinking at all, I have to go expand my territory in any way.
Right.
I just would like to live in peace.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would have stayed in peace, he never would have done anything.
Right.
But they're the ones that caused it because of their intention.
Right.
Is I'm trying to eliminate Israel. Mm-hmm. And God says, no, I'm not going to let that happen. So because of that, of your intention, I'm going to actually then kill these people whose intention mm-hmm. is to kill Israel. See, you see how critical
right.
this is?
Right.
So it's all about intention. And if people are coming against Israel, God says, I'm going to protect you. But mm-hmm. he is saying, Israel, I don't want you expanding your territory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you attacking somebody else to gain something from them. That's not what I'm up to. I will
right.
protect you if they attack you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in this case, Hamas is the one that initiated the attack.
Right.
And it wasn't, it used to be what I call little nuisances. Yeah, they'd lob missiles over periodically and they would eliminate them, and sometimes they'd hit someplace.
But this was on a whole other scale.
But this was a whole gigantic offensive, which was the goal is we're going to annihilate mm-hmm. Israel, and we're going to attack, and they attacked a festival, and they killed people, mm-hmm. and there was 1,500 Israelis killed, kids and women, that were killed in those stuff.
You know?
So they were upset about it. Okay, so God says, first of all, that if you're being attacked, I do give you permission to go to battle. Mm-hmm. And I will save you. Okay, now, on the other side of it is the heart of God. Okay, so let's go to 2 Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And did I give you the verses on that already?
Yes, 3, 8, and 9.
Yeah, 8 and 9. So go ahead and read 3, 8, and 9.
Sure. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Okay, so God's heart, and this is for all people, see, is mm-hmm. that I've created them to have fellowship with me. My heart is that none, and the word there is mm-hmm. literally the entire
zero
population of the world,
right,
that they would not perish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now think of the word here, perish, means what? That they are killed or they die, mm-hmm. never having accepted my son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord
right.
and Savior, and they spend eternity separated from me because I can't alter that truth.
Mm-hmm.
The only way they can do it is to receive what I did for them on the cross. If they don't, they will spend eternity in hell. My heart is not to.
Right.
And I invite everybody to, and I don't want anybody to perish, but to have eternal life with me. And is that true toward the Palestinians? Absolutely, 100%. Mm-hmm. And that's true for toward everybody. So there's really, and this is what Israel is trying to do right now, and that is that they were attacked. They're trying to eliminate those that intended to annihilate them.
Right.
And they have a right to do that. And God actually sanctions that mm-hmm. through, I will save you, I will protect you. I do not want you killed. I want you to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. On the other side of it is the people there are still people. Mm-hmm. And I would like them to see the truth and at least stop attacking you. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that they'll even repent and come to know me.
Right.
And so if you can, be generous toward them and keep inviting them so that the current situation in Israel is trying to do this. When they attacked Gaza, they spent actually several weeks informing them, we were going to attack you. If you feel in danger mm-hmm. and you want to go somewhere else, you got time to go do that.
Right.
So that we would like to preserve life. That's the value of Israel's perspective, is we want to preserve life. The only ones really we care about are the ones that are intending to kill us. Mm-hmm. And basically, you got to choose which side you're going to be on.
Right.
If you can stop that, we don't want to attack you. Mm-hmm. So right now, what they're trying to do is first of all, take all the leadership out of Hamas.
Right.
And then what they're working on is, you know, is there a way that we could reconstruct Gaza in a way that motivates them not to want to kill us?
Right.
Because we do value sanctity of life. And God cares about those people. Mm-hmm. So it's not a lack of care. It's just really which line people are going to be on. Am I intending to annihilate Israel, then God says, and then you're in danger.
And you're coming against my people.
Yeah, I'm going to protect him, and you're the one that's going to suffer for that. Mm-hmm. If you could come to a place where you could at least coexist, mm-hmm. then I will instruct my people not to attack you, because I do value life, and I do want you to, you know, eventually, you know, come and know me. So. It's a very interesting question, and it's not a simple one way or absolute the other. You look at the heart of God and the intention of God, and that is, mm-hmm. I have a nation, I have a people, I am going to protect them. If they're attacked and the intention is to annihilate them, you're the one causing your own demise. Mm-hmm. But I value the people that are still there, and I'm going to work, God's going to work, and I believe through Israel, to invite them to at least stop the attacking and mm-hmm. agree to stop the attacking and let us rebuild this in a friendly, positive way, that we don't want to annihilate you. We'd actually like to live together if we could.
Right.
But we're not going to let you rule.
If you can live there, not trying to wipe us out
right.
as well.
Right. Yeah. So it's a very interesting question, and a very, I think it's biblically answered for us. And of course, we don't know how it's going to play out. And the question is that, and we're going to be praying that Israel also have that same heart, mm-hmm. that they don't go too far with it just
right.
because they can or because they've had it. It's like, well, stay maintaining the sanctity of life. Mm-hmm. And I pray that they will. And we're praying for a way. We actually, my prayer has been that the people in Gaza would just surrender and say, mm-hmm. yeah, you know what? Why don't you help us rebuild it and we'll just stop coming against you.
Right.
And I believe that Israel would then receive that. And work it. And I think then it'll be interesting to talk to Denny about this. About I think that's what they're trying to do. So we'll see how that goes. So hopefully for a friend that asked that question, we hope this helped you and maybe helped others understand it. Mm-hmm. And if you got questions or you want,
it's great to see this context too. Yeah.
You want to pursue this further? Send it in. We're happy to. We don't mind tough stuff. And all we can do is tell you here's what the Bible says. And And then together we have to keep processing what does it all mean. And life is complicated, so it's never simple. It's always not just, you know, one way or the other. It's just how do we understand this? So Father, we thank you for the truth of it. We know your heart. We know that you will protect Israel. That we pray that Israel will not get too aggressive and try to go beyond what you've asked them to do to defend themselves. And at the same time, you have sanctity of life, and your desire is that none shall perish. That's absolutely true, and we all support that. And so we pray that your care for people would continue, and that the opportunity for people to know you would continue. And we praise you and thank you now for that, and thank you for this wisdom in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich, and thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And remember, today is, you know, that would be the last day to kind of send in the email for a 750th episode drawing. Yeah. So be sure to send that in to us, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Yep. Thanks for listening.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.